I thank the universe every single day now that I overdosed on that day, because it turned me back on. It switched me back on to the reality of this beautiful fucking life that we get to share and we get to cherish with all of these amazing people on this planet.
These are the stories of average people who have experienced a massive change in their lives after a Tony Robbins event. This is episode 5 of the Tony Robbins Impact Podcast. In this episode, I'll be speaking with 32-year-old coach for entrepreneurs, Brody Lee, who shares with me his incredible journey. Not just his transformative experience during Tony's Unleash the Power Within, but also how he has come back from his darkest moments of life. Enjoy.
Brody Lee, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So I've been following you a bit on Facebook. You're doing a lot of stuff.
Yes, let's to say the least.
Yeah, and I do want to talk specifically about sort of how Tony Robbins has impacted your life. Before that, do you mind just sharing a bit about your last 10 years and what sort of led you towards personal development and Tony Robbins seminars and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I have had an incredible journey, and specifically over the last 2 years is where things have really started taking off for me. But I think the best place to start is 2 years ago, I was working for Apple, the largest corporation in the world. And I'd had an incredibly successful career with them all over the world, in Canada, Australia. And one of the things that was, I had just moved back to Australia. I'd spent a couple of years overseas in Canada, and I came back and I was asleep at the wheel. I'd had this really awesome career. I got 5 promotions in 4 years. Like, on the surface, things were looking really good. But underneath all of it, there was something missing. And the way that manifested was that I became very despondent around my work life. I wasn't happy in my environment here in Australia, and I felt like there was something missing. And I became very present to the fact that when I was 6 years old, I was sexually abused by a teacher. Memory of this before. It was something that came out of the blue and hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was just this really kind of jarring moment in my life. And what happened in that process of me realizing that this had happened was my identity got crushed. And all of these tasks and things that I'd been doing at work, and I'd done thousands of times before, I was not able to do the normal things that I was able to do, because previously, and I was in a really high powered job. I was coaching and developing leaders and teams and rolling out new service strategies all over the world for Apple. And like, so I was, my work life was, I was very wrapped up in my work identity, but then my personal identity got crushed in this moment as well. And suddenly a lot of things in my life made a lot of sense. So it made a lot of sense that when I was 6 years old, just after the abuse, that I grew tumors in my ear and I went deaf in my right ear. And wow. The way that I looked back at it, and I look at that now, I go, you know, that was me trying to shut out the world because it was too painful. And then it became, and then it made sense that through my primary school and high school, I was school captain. I was a massive high performer. I got my pilot's license when I was 15 years old, before I could legally get in a car with an instructor, and I was allowed to fly a plane by myself. And then I excelled at school. And the reason why I was excelling at school was not actually because I was necessarily the most dedicated person, but because I had sought safety in adults. And I thought that, and this is all in retrospect, like, at the time I had no idea this is what was going on. But by achieving and getting the recognition from adults, I basically was creating an environment for myself where I was safe, because some asshole when I was 6 years old put out my light. And so I sought the refuge in these authority figures to try and keep myself safe from them, I guess, because I thought that they were all a threat. And then it made a lot of sense that within 2 weeks of leaving school, that I started smoking crystal methamphetamine, and I smoked meth or ice, whichever, wherever you are in the world, whatever you call it, for almost every day for 6 years, from 18 to 24. And, you know, wow. I'd been given a label as an addict, but I really hated that label at the time because I never really identified with it. And then I moved, and then so I cleaned myself up, and I kind of got very sick. There's a defining moment when I was 24 and I was like, I cannot live this life anymore. I cannot be doing this stuff. And so I moved to Canada and things on the surface got really good. Like I got the 5 promotions in 4 years. I was doing some incredible work with Apple. But I guess, like I said before, I was kind of asleep at the wheel a little bit. And because there was this underlying undercurrent of this unresolved stuff from when I was a boy that I'd never really, you know, the human brain is an amazing, amazing organism and it protects you from things that you're not ready to deal with. And I really firmly believe that these things come up in your life when you are ready to deal with them. And I guess for whatever reason, like 2 years ago, this is when my brain decided that, you know, well, you're ready to deal with this and it's time for you to kind of deal with this so that you can keep moving on with the rest of your life. And so what happened after a period of being clean is I relapsed. And a housemate found me within an inch of my life on our couch. I'd overdosed. I'd taken some meth and some other drugs. And I, you know, it was a really, this very, very defining moment in my life. Like I had a decision to make when I cleaned myself up. I went and detoxed. And thankfully, I've got family that took me in and took care of me when I was in that really vulnerable position. And there was this moment where I had to make a decision. Did I want to keep living the life that I had been living where I was asleep at the wheel, where my light was still out? Or did I want to reclaim my light and start looking at what the hell was going on in my mind and my body? And I'd done some work previously because I'd been to a couple of rehabs when I was younger and smoking meth and everything. But I'd never really been in an environment where I was taking charge and I was the one that was driving the change. And that's kind of what happened. So I sought out the best help in the country. I got myself into one of the best rehabilitation programs. And through that, I was working with a therapist and I got some of the best coaches in the world. And I had my ass fucking handed to me by those coaches. And I dealt with this really serious stuff. And I dealt with the fact that I was abused. And I dealt with the fact that I spent 6 years of my life using drugs and dealing drugs and doing crazy shit like that. And then through this process, I got to a very, very, very powerful place where I got to basically be blessed and, you know, say, you know what, I'm actually grateful. I'm so grateful that the universe created this environment where A, I was abused. I actually got to express gratitude for the experience of that happening, because without that happening, I would not be the person that I am today. I wouldn't have the compassion, the depth of emotion, the ability to connect with people and the empathy that I have, that I cherish so dearly, to be able to go out and to be this kind of person in the world, this light. And so every single day now, I'm so blessed and fortunate. I get to thank the universe that I was abused because it's created me into who I am. I thank the universe every single day that I smoked meth for 6 years because it has taught me so much about life that I would never have been exposed to previously. And I thank the universe every single day now that I overdosed on that day because it turned me back on and it switched me back on to the reality of this beautiful fucking life that we get to share and we get to cherish with all of these amazing people on this planet. And, you know, it was hard and I'm not going to gloss over it. Like this whole process that I went through, it was not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but I was fortunate enough to be in an environment, a very supportive environment with friends, family, and loved ones. I got the help that I needed and I did the work and it has paid absolute dividends. Yeah, and it's like, so over the last 2 years, I've been exposed to the likes of Tony Robbins. And so once I'd kind of done the work on myself, and, you know, it was really interesting. A therapist said to me, she said, oh, you know, like, it has been like all of the things that have happened to you and all of the things that you've done in your life up until this point are all, you know, like really textbook and examples of someone who suffers from complex PTSD. For basically, you had sustained trauma when you were younger, and all of the responses, the human responses that you've had since, are just perfectly natural for someone that was in that high stress environment and had that horrific act happen to him. And she said, I think you've got complex PTSD, but it was another label for me. And I really, I struggled with it because I was just like, you know what? I was called an addict before and I didn't identify with that because I didn't think that I was like what the cookie cutter, like what you hear about addicts on the street. And she said, yeah, look, I actually think the reason why you were using the drugs was actually not to, some people say people use drugs as a slow march towards suicide, but I think the reason you were using it was because the world was just so painful for you that, and you desperately wanted to stay alive, that you used it because you wanted to put yourself down in a position where no one could ever hurt you. You were putting yourself on a baseline. To survive. So, yeah, just to survive, just to get through. And she said, and she spoke of the resilience and all that sort of stuff. So that was really empowering for me. But then this label was really disempowering of complex PTSD, because I know what that looks like for people. And I've seen people come back from war zones. I've seen other people that have gone through a trauma, and the outcomes are not great. And I was just like, you know what? I can't do this. I don't want this for myself. And so I worked really, really, really hard, and I got myself into the environment of coaching. And then I went to a Tony Robbins UPW event, Unleash the Power Within. And what I got access to over the UPW weekend was so many different things. But first of all was I partied harder than I'd ever partied before over those 4 days, because you dance and it gets you up and moving and into your body. And what I realized through that whole process was that, you know, I had partied for 4 days straight previously when I was using drugs, but I got access to my light and an expression of myself that that had been lost when I was a child. I was a very energetic, young and bubbly child. And I was my mother used to call me her joy boy, and I got access to that again. And so through that process of getting access to this boy, this light, I just kind of lit up the room, and like the people that were there, like we can tell you, I was the person that was dancing the hardest, playing all out. And I just had a wonderful experience. So I crushed a lot of limiting beliefs around myself and around the messages around being an addict and complex PTSD and all that sort of stuff. And I had this moment there, and I had, at the time I wasn't drinking because I was training for the New York Marathon, but I'd always intended that potentially I might go back to it. I was just having a break for my training. And through the course of the weekend, I got to this, I was like, man, I've got access to this thing that I've been searching for through all these years, through drugs and alcohol, and which I was, when really I was searching for myself and looking for a way to kind of connect with people. And I had access to it that weekend, and I made a decision that I would never touch a mind-altering substance ever again. I'd already given up the drugs, but I also gave up the alcohol that weekend. And I crushed a limiting belief that I would never be able to run my own business because I didn't have the skills or whatever. I realized that I'd run a $750 million a year market for Apple in Canada, and I run a $65 million a year store in Australia that I'd been working in. And
all the credentials.
And I just, for whatever reason, I had just played such a small game, and I'd talked myself down. And so I took ownership of that and of my story, and I unleashed. Literally, he calls it Unleash the Power Within.
It is incredible that was that 2018 or?
Last year.
It's incredible those moments you have at that event where you realize how much you're standing in your own way. And it's just so confronting, because all of the stories you tell yourself are around, I can't do it because of this, it's not the right time, I don't have enough money, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He makes you realize that it's all BS.
It is. And, you know, we are really good at telling ourselves shit, right? We're really, really good at telling ourselves these negative stories. Somewhere along the line, we've taken on a message that we weren't good enough, or we weren't pretty enough, we weren't thin enough, etc. And it becomes such a big part of our identity. And I guess the universal joke in all of this, and we spend all of this time and angst and energy kind of channeling ourselves into this horrible story that we set up for ourselves. The universal joke in all of that is that you were perfect, whole and complete from the minute that you were born. And that somebody, some divine thing in the universe, like I don't believe in God personally, but I definitely believe in the universe. And it's an absolute miracle that each and every single one of us is here on this planet. Like the things that need to go right for a baby to be born, the science behind it is incredible. And so someone loved us enough to put us on this planet in this moment of time. And, you know, from the moment that we took that first breath, we were enough. And when you get access to that and you realize that, it's like, oh, man, okay. Yeah. And now you get really excited, and it's like you want to take on the world.
Hey, talk to me a bit about, you said when you went to Unleash the Power Within, it brought out that boy energy in you. Are you talking just about your energy? Because you've got I've been following your stuff on social media. You've got a good high energy. And is that what came out of that event? Like, is that, if I talked to you before the event, would you have been feeling the same?
Look, on the surface, I probably would have looked very similar, but I don't know that I would have had such a close connection with it, or been able to claim it as, you know, this is who I am and I'm Brody fucking Lee and here I am in the world sort of thing. When I was a kid, I was like there's a story that my mother tells me. So do you know those playgroups that kids you take your kids to, like they're like when they're before they go to school and mums and kids get together and everything? I was a bit of a social butterfly, and so I made mum take me not to not one, not two, but three different groups each week. And we were taking on a new one, a fourth one. And so apparently I waltzed into this room of 50 strangers, of adults and kids, walked straight into the middle of the room and said, "It's okay, you can start now, I'm here," with just this confidence and this energy. And I don't think, like, from 6 years old until really until last year, until I was like 32, I guess, I think for those 26 years, I didn't have access to that little boy that had that bundle of energy and that confidence in a really felt sense of the way that he showed up. I think I had the energy, but I think I was asleep at the wheel with it. I think what I've learned about myself is that when I'm in this really authentic place around my energy, it's incredibly magnetic, and I've been exposed to some amazing people as a result of it. And opportunities have come to me since I've reclaimed that version of myself that and kind of reintroduced myself to the world that I wouldn't have had previously. And some of the stuff that's happened over the last few months is just, it blows my mind every single day that it's even occurred. So that's kind of what has come out of that experience.
Okay. By the way, just your story's incredible, and well done for, you know, turning things around. And you obviously had the family support, which obviously helps a lot, but to get yourself to a place where you're feeling so great now is something to be proud of.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. And it's something that I, every single day, I feel very blessed that I'm in this position, because there's a lot of people that I know from my past and a lot of people that around the world that are still struggling with this sort of stuff. And it is not lost on me that I'm one of the lucky ones. I know people that have died. I know people that are institutionalized. I know people that are in jail. And I know people that are still out there on the street suffering. And, you know, it's really tough. So I'm very, very fortunate and lucky.
Yes, for sure. So my next question is about hunger. So Tony talks about the difference between, like, people who are at the top of their game and stay at the top of their game. And he basically says that it all comes down to hunger. So how do you stay hungry? And you're a coach, so you might see this a lot, but what is it that... that so many people struggle? Why is it that so many people struggle with this?
Great question. I'm just thinking as you said that about hunger. So Steve Jobs, my former boss, is he once, like, one of the comments that he said was stay hungry, stay foolish. And that resonates a lot in my life. And I think for me personally, and I can speak for myself and then speak to what I think from a coaching point of view, the thing that keeps me hungry now is the fact that I wasn't hungry for so many years. And between the age of 6 and 26, for those 26 years, I don't think I really had access to just how awesome life could be. I think I was hungry for little things along the way, but I didn't have a full complete picture of my place in the universe and just how much I could accomplish if I really buckled down and set my mind to the different things that I wanted to accomplish. I had accomplished things, but I had success, but I'm not sure if I had the fulfillment around it. And Tony talks about that a lot. So for me, it's about, I guess for me, I got access to, like, now I have absolute certainty in who I am. So therefore I can now go out and serve in the world and make sure that I'm supporting other people to get that same certainty. I think the thing that holds a lot of people back is that we get caught up in this story. And I was for many, many years of who we are and our identity. And when we're in story and not in a place of like owning our identity, I think that it's very easy to get lost. And then you come up with all of these thoughts, reasons, and considerations why you don't have something. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a little bit of a crutch.
Or why you can't do something,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, when you just take action, so I'm a big believer, I talk about this thing, like, with my clients, it's like action, result, action, result, action, result. It's like a lever. My hand's flying in front of my face as I do this because I'm doing the motion. But, you know, the only thing between you and getting what you want is action. The only thing between you and getting those results is action. And so when you strip away all of those thoughts, reasons, and considerations why you can't do something and just give it a go, you'll be really surprised at what actually comes out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, you will fail probably more times than you will succeed. But it is the process of getting yourself back up again and giving it another shot and trying something else. And, you know, I love the story of Colonel Sanders in this. You know, that guy, he got 1,000 no's before he got a yes for KFC's original recipe chicken.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah, and so this is the thing, right? I think we are, when we don't have that clarity on who we are, it's very easy for us to hear no and then make that as part of our identity. So someone says no to us, then we go, oh, then I must not be good enough or I must be something. But I think the difference between people who consistently achieve over the long term is that they don't see no as a setback. They see it as an opportunity to try something different.
Okay, for sure. That's a great way of putting it. You talk a lot about service in some of your posts on social media. And Tony talks about that as well, you know, serve, you know, give and you shall receive. What does service mean to you, and how much does that play a part in what you do, not just with your coaching, but yeah, day to day?
You know, my head is a really messed up place, and it still is. And I still struggle with all of the limiting beliefs. Like, I haven't crushed any of them completely. They're still there. They still pop up. But I'm a lot better at dealing with them now. And what I've found is that when I'm in the space of being in other people's worlds, when I'm outside of my own head, it's a much better place to be in because I'm not dealing with my own stuff. And often I find that when I am working with other people, when I'm serving, when I'm working with charities, when I'm even out like supporting my friends with things that are going on, my family and whatnot, is that it is less time spent in this minefield of my own mind and more time spent outwardly looking at the real human condition and what other people's experience is. And what I find is that when I'm in that space of other people's condition and how they live and how they operate, I actually end up learning more about myself than if I was just sitting in my own mind and trying to sort it out for me.
For sure. So, yeah, like putting yourself out there and living in that place must relieve a lot of that pressure.
Absolutely. And look, throughout life and throughout everything that you do, there will always be someone that is doing a better job than you, and there'll always be someone that's doing a worse job than you. So I think that it's really, really important for us to be really present to, you know, there are people out there that are doing it really, really tough. And even though what we might feel right now is that we're doing it really, really tough, just go out and try and find someone that you can support in some way that can be on any level of the spectrum, all the success in the world, or someone that's got all of these odds stacked against them. And in that process, what you find is that you get really, really present to other people and what's going on in their world. And that, you know, like the human condition is a really, really beautiful thing. And when you wake up to that, your stuff doesn't seem so bad.
For sure. That's a really beautiful way of putting it. Hey, let me take you back to UPW day 3. Something magical happens for people listening who haven't been to UPW. First of all, go, but day 3 is really special. Everyone I talked to had some kind of moment where their life changed or they had a breakthrough. Can you share with me, I'm assuming you had a moment too.
I had a few, yeah. So I will, first of all, just to comment on something that you said before, yes, everyone listening should absolutely go, for the sole purpose that you should just go. That's the only reason I need to give you to go. You should just do it. But in terms of me, yeah, you know, I think in that whole process, what I really did was let go of all of the crap that had been holding me back, and the whatever was holding my light from shining in that moment, I literally just let rip. And I already didn't have a voice from earlier in the weekend, but I definitely didn't have a voice for many, many days after that process, because I just like I spent like many minutes, probably like 40 or so minutes, just screaming at the top of my lungs. And there's something really powerful. So there's a science to all of this. And the reason that you yell and you create this is because it does something to your vibrational frequency. And the sound waves actually alter part of your being. And so your body, like, you know, there's waves all around, the sound waves and everything like that. And when you yell out, it's actually you're creating a vibrational frequency in your body. And it does something remarkable. It cleanses you. And so I was letting go of all of this stuff, and I had already kind of had a little bit of an inkling as to who like I was again and everything. And in that moment, I just reclaimed Brody Lee, and it was just, it was blissful. If it's a word that I can say, like, I've done lots of drugs before, and to all the people out there listening, I've tried all of the drugs in the world, so you don't have to. Don't bother. They're not worth it. Go to Tony Robbins. It is the only drug you need, because in that moment, I got a taste of, like, this is going to sound really corny, but I got a taste of ecstasy.
Oh, for sure.
And it was just, it was incredible. I felt invincible, and I felt that there was nothing in this planet that I would ever be able to not accomplish, that, like, that I was just absolutely unstoppable.
You get that sense, don't you, when you're there? You just, there's something really powerful, like you said, about the screaming and the dancing, and and just with doing that with so many people in a room is is really powerful.
And the thing is, so, like, in that room in Sydney, there was about 8,500 people that were all going through the exact same process, and 8,500 people that were having their own version of a transformation. And so the energy of that happening, it's very, very electric. I was fortunate enough to crew a Tony Robbins event in November, after the one in September in Sydney. I went to New York, and I had just run in the New York Marathon, and it happened to be the next weekend. So I went along, and I got to observe that whole process happen for 12,500 people. And when you're an outsider looking in, it looks really remarkable, because you literally get to see in people's faces how they were before and how they were after, and their aura, like everything about them shifts. And it's just, it's remarkable.
That's cool. And you, can you share with us, I saw that you were dancing on stage as well. Proximity.
Yeah, absolute proximity. So I, so like I said, in Sydney, I was the guy that was on the main floor, and I was dancing around, carrying on. I had people coming to me left, right, and center, talking to me, like, "Oh my God, you've got so much energy. We love your dancing," and stuff like that, just because I was on fire myself. And when on day one of Tony Robbins, like the registration day, which is the day before the actual event, as a crew member, we were in a registration hall, and there was some music going, and I started dancing, and I started this little bit of a wave of people dancing. And obviously the Tony Robbins crew people, I guess they saw me, and they saw that I'd created this thing and this energy. And they tapped me on the shoulder and they said, "You should apply for the dance group. Like, you really should." And, you know, I wasn't successful at first. The first couple of times because the style of dancing is like precision cheerleading. And it's not actually like freeform dancing, which is what I was like bouncing around and enjoying. But once I got really present to their style and everything like that, I gave it a go, and they took me on. And then pretty much every single time the dancers got on stage to G up the crowd, I was on. And in one moment, we got to introduce Tony to the stage, and I was literally 2 feet away from the guy, and he walked past me, and we kind of locked eyes, and it was this kind of moment, and it was just remarkable. And I just I feel very blessed that I had that. And, you know, there's something really electric about being on stage in front of 12,500 people, and kind of getting them ready, and them and seeing their energy, like your energy reflected in them, because they're following your lead and everything. And it's just,
Beautiful.
I'm getting excited talking about it now.
Yeah, it must take you back.
Yeah, and I'm doing it again this year. I've got more stuff happening later in the year. I'm a convert. Like, I really, I guess, so as much as you get an amazing experience participating in a Tony event, there's also the experience that you get crewing an event. And I got to say, I probably learned more actually in the crewing side of things than I did in the actual event where I was participating, because I had all of the distinctions and I had all the knowledge, and then I got to help other people apply them. And so I got to learn through other people and watch their transformation. And that was really, really rewarding.
Really cool. Really cool. Yeah. I mean, you're doing a marathon while you're over there as well?
So last year I ran in the New York Marathon for the first time. In December 2017, my personal trainer called me, and she's like, "Hey, Brody, I know you're always up for doing crazy stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, sign me up." And then she's like, "You've just committed to running in the New York Marathon." And I swore very loudly after that, because I'm not traditionally a runner, but I ran and it was remarkable. And then I got to, and actually the only reason that I got to crew that Tony event was because somebody, I had a call with somebody a week after the Sydney event, and they mentioned that he was going to be in New York the week after my marathon. And I was like, holy crap. And so I changed all of my travel plans. I was supposed to go to Canada, but I canceled flights and accommodation just so I could do this. And what happened on that weekend was, I mentioned to somebody, I said, "You know, I've had an amazing experience. I ran this marathon, and then I've come here to crew, and it's been a remarkable experience. I'd love to do it again next year." And she was like, "You know what? I'd love to do that." And I was like, "Oh, do you think other people might be interested?" And then by the end of the weekend, we had 60 people signed up to what we had then dubbed Unleash the Marathon Runner Within. And awesome. so it spurred out into this incredible thing. We're now taking 100 Tony Robbins crew members or people who have participated in Tony events but maybe haven't crewed yet. We're taking them to run in the New York Marathon to raise $250,000 for charity. And the very next weekend, Unleash the Power Within is in Miami. So we are all running the marathon and then traveling down to Miami to serve again. So we're
Cool.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And you know what? People have just like just jumped on board, and we've actually secured an amazing partnership with Success Resources, the organization that puts on all of Tony Robbins events around the world outside of the US. They saw what we were doing, and I got a call one day and said, hey, we'd love to support. And I was just like, what? So we've got, again, more proximity, and these sorts of crazy things are happening. And I just, I'm very, very, like, I've got a great leadership team that are helping me kind of to, like, leadership team within the marathon group that are helping me kind of put it all together to make sure that we get everyone there. And we've got a massive training program and all this really cool stuff. So if you're out there and you're interested in unleashing the marathon runner within, please, like, absolutely jump on my website. And we'd love to kind of have you on board as well.
Bring it on. I think that's really cool. Hey, before I ask my final question, while you're talking about your website, why don't you, could you just let people know what you do and where they can find you?
Yes. So I am a high performance coach, and I energize entrepreneurs to crush through the hustle and grind to scale to six plus figures. So the way where you can find me is Brody Lee. So BRODYLEE.com.au. I'm also on socials as well. So if you go to Facebook, just Facebook.com/BrodyLives. So BRODYLIVES. I'm also on Instagram with the same handle, but I'm not that great at Instagram, so don't bother with that one. and then if you're interested in Unleash the Marathon Runner Within, you can search for Unleash the Marathon Runner Within on Facebook and then ask to join, and there's all this information there as well.
Very cool. Thank you so much for joining me. I've got one more question, but yeah, thanks. Before I ask, just thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really cool to talk to you.
It's been really fun. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, so for my final question, if you had to leave this world and you're sitting with your loved ones, what piece of advice or guidance or a quote do you give them?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And I would say that to everybody listening, I would encourage you right now, wherever you are, to go and stand in front of a mirror and look at yourself dead in the eyes and point at yourself and say, you are a fucking rock star. And look at yourself dead in the eyes as you say it. Like one of the things that I became really present to throughout my whole journey is that every single person on this planet, no matter who you are, has a rock star deep inside of them, and we don't let that rock star out enough. And so that is my tagline. I tell it. I end every video that I create, every piece of content, and I tell it my clients at the end of every single coaching call that you are a fucking rock star, and I tell it to myself every single day. And you know what? It sticks. And when you say it over and over and over again in front of the mirror, you feel incredible. So to everyone listening, go do it and then let me know how you went with it. and there's a whole process that I do with my clients around it as well. And we take it to the next level as well. But it's a great space to be in when you kind of just get to feel that energy coming towards you. So I'd say to my clients and everyone around the world that I work with, they're my family. You guys are all my family. And the message sticks for everyone in my life. So, yeah.